Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow, with Quran's wisdom, let it flow. Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow, with Quran's wisdom, let it flow. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to Let's Talk. And you're watching Madni Channel, and I've got some beautiful guests and a very interesting topic for you today. But before we go any further, let's start with a blessing of Durood-e Pak. Now, Ramzan is all about seeking forgiveness in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. We heard in last week's or the week before program that, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy in a manner befitting His Majesty, comes to the lower heavens and calls out, is there anybody who wants forgiveness? Well, listen to this hadith in Mubarakah. Because you've got Allah Azza wa Jal wanting to forgive. You've got us that we don't really turn to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. But you've got the best of creation, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, helping us. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, recite salat upon me in abundance. Undoubtedly, your recital of salat upon me is forgiveness for your sins. Look at the mercy of Aqa Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A really easy way in Ramzan al-Mubarak to get forgiveness from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal is by reciting Durood al-Salam upon the best of creation. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now before we delve into our very interesting and intriguing topic for today, I'm going to start with the question of the day.
Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom, let it flow.
So you've got the question of the day, and what is the name of the angel who brings revelation? Now I'm going to move to my guests, and on my right side is our beloved Shaheed Bhai. He's our youth majlis. And you know, mashallah, he's very inspiring. He's always kind of cheerful and bubbly. And that's how youngsters should be. You get two of them these days, we're all lazy and dull. Give him something, he'll go out of his way and go and do it. Mashallah, may Allah ta'ala bless him. Shaheed Bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Welcome to Let's Talk.
Jazakallah khair.
Mashallah, we enjoyed your pearls last week, and inshallah, today's topic is very interesting. Viewers of Madni Channel must be thinking, what it is it? I've not told them yet. I'm going to keep it a secret till I introduce my beloved guest on my heart side, as I inshallah. Said last week. The one and only, our Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hafiz Sahib, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Over the last kind of few years, what we've noticed, probably 5 or 6 years, Hafiz Sahib, what we've noticed is that, you know, things have become quite expensive. And, you know, the household items we buy, the bills we pay and everything else. And then the desires we have, we see somebody with certain things, we want something, you know, similar to it. We want to kind of increase our luxuries in life. But suddenly we have a problem. And that problem is we can't afford it.
Yeah.
And then people start taking loans and everything else. And suddenly you're in this downward spiral. So today, viewers of Madni Channel, we're going to discuss the cost of living crisis and what Islam says about that and how we should analyze our situation and solve this problem from an Islamic perspective in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. I'm going to start with Hafiz Sahib. Sahib, I've kind of highlighted the problem that we're discussing today, and I want you to kind of tell us the reality on the ground. So where is the problem? What's happening?
I think we need to understand one thing, that whatever, you know, the wealth, if it's increased or decreased, it's a test from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Like Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. So it's a fitna, it's a test from us as well. And the other thing that I think we've reiterated this a lot of the times is we need to define what our needs are and what we want. Nowadays, you know, what we need is defined by what we want. And that's where the problem lies. is we don't look at our income. We just we don't have an eye on our expenses as well. And that's where things have gone wrong. And the other point is that a risk is written, but efforts and planning are required. You know, whatever risk that Allah has written down for us is written for us. But we need to have an effort. But the thing is, we need to understand that, you know, don't work too hard, work smart.
SubhanAllah.
You know, sometimes I met this guy and he says that I'm in debt with £10,000. So therefore, I need to look for another job. He's already working in two jobs. So then I said to him that, look, you know, make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not always working that, you know, you're going to pay off your debts. Make dua. He's the one that can help you. Because what's going to happen is when you go into your third job, now you're already working 12-hour shifts. You know, you're going to add another 2-3 hours. What time are you going to have for sleep, for your own time as well, for your own ibadah, for your family? Everything's going to go. And what he did was that he thought, I'm getting the third job, I might as well go to work. So now he's working 14 hours a day. He worked for 2 weeks and then the next week he's ill. For 3 weeks he's in bed.
Allah.
You know, so the thing is, we need to rely and we need to have that tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jal, that whatever problems we have, we make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. Try to make as many duas as you can. Rather than, you know, trying to cut corners, make dua in the court of Allah and look at your expenses. That's a very important thing to understand.
No, there are a lot of many pearls in that, Hafsa. You've talked about food wastage. You've talked about rizq being, decreed by the Allah Azza wa Jal and that being set. You've talked about, you know, expanding your kind of luxuries and managing your affairs. So there's quite a lot. And each one I want to kind of deal with there. Just coming back to what Hafsa said to start with, Shibay, in relation to belief in Allah, tawakkul Allah, and knowing that your rizq has been written. Well, you know, a lot of youngsters might say, well, if your rizq is written, then I can just chill out. Oh, can I?
Yeah. The thing is, we need to look at that. Obviously, rizq is written. And I think one of the biggest problems that we're lacking, and why I think the youth is having these problems as well, that we lack gratitude nowadays.
Mm.
That gratitude has gone from us.
Is it just the youth though? No, that's another issue.
Yeah,
Is it just the youth? We tend to always, you know, shift the blame to the youths, you know. But I've seen adults and, you know, people that are in their old age, they do the same as well. For example, weddings. You know, you don't have to have a competition who does the best wedding. You know, this is what was happening. I went to a wedding once, I read the nikah, and I heard that the guys are paying £100 per head. And they were invited 600 people. So that's like £60,000. What was the need for that? Is because our cousins did it last year. We need to beat them. So the thing is, we need to understand that I don't have that competition amongst other people as well. You know, someone like me, you know, if I want to, you know, have a lavish wedding for my children, you know, obviously you can go out and get a loan. You can ask people to lend you some money. But what's the point though? You know, end of the day, you got to repay that back as well. And this is what's happening. You know, we're spending more than what we're earning.
Wastage and showing off, I suppose, ostentation.
And another thing, Hafizab, I think, you know, we start to think now that there's more barakah, more money. Sometimes less money has more barakah in it. And this is seen in many times and is proven from the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the life and the hardships the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went. He had a hard life, but he lived a very simple life. And sometimes months would pass in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without fire would be lit.
Allahu
Akbar. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrated that sometimes they would survive on dates and water only. So I think we have this mentality nowadays that the more money we have, the more we will have barakah, I think.
Dealing with it in a structure, because Hafsa has given us, mashallah, a very good set of criteria. So he's talked about, being written your rizq, and we know that you have to make the effort. We've made that point. Now, the other point that he mentioned was wastage, and he alluded to it there again. You know, there's this tendency to waste, and there was a famous hadith in Mubarakah where, somebody was at a river, I think, they're performing wuzu, and there was some talk about don't waste the water. And today, Hafsa rightly said, we waste so much food, it's unbelievable.
I think this is happening because we started, obviously, like I mentioned before, gratitude, and we take for less the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, and we stop looking at people below us. That's another problem. Because if we look at people below us, for example, if you look at people they are struggling in different countries. So if you look at people, for example, in South Africa, they don't even have water to drink. Sometimes they be eating muds and stuff, which is obviously very saddening. So if we stop looking at people below us and we always have that image, oh, I need to become like that person, or we look at people above us, and that's what's ruining us more, I think.
And the other thing I think is very important is that trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, okay, we do go through a hard time, but never ever give up your hope in the trust of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, the waqia comes into mind when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was in Ghare Hira. And what did the Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu say? And the scholars, they write that if them enemies just, you know, bent down, they would see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq in the cave. But Allah, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, Abu Bakr, don't worry. You know, Allah is with us. You know, and the, you know, again, you know, I can remember when we had the first lockdown in 2020, everyone was panicking. And then, you know, you had the Amir al-Asnur's program, Dilugi Rahat, where the Amir al-Asnur was, you know, focusing on giving patience to people. Allah is with us. Even now, what we need to do is we need to sit down, look at ourselves, you know, rather than crying poverty or crying out that it's too expensive. Look at yourself, how you're spending your money, and then, you know, how you...
No, but Hafizab, the mentality that I see, Zahibay Hafizab, is this, that if I start to control how much I cook for my children or how much my family cooks, it feels like I'm being stingy or I'm cutting corners or I can't afford it. So, kulabno, you know, make everything, yeah? And if half of it goes to waste, because I remember in the olden days when you used to sit down to eat roti, you used to get a plate of salad. And it used to be just enough. And then if you ask for extra, you had to go back into the kitchen and get it. And your Amidi used to say, how many roti do you want? And if you said two, they would make two and that was it. You know, because, and they didn't make an extra third or fourth one just in case somebody eats it. They said, you've asked for two, you're going to get two.
Yeah.
Because if you don't eat it, this is going to go to waste. And they have this conscious mind about not wasting rizq. Today, that mindset has gone, Zahibay.
Yeah, definitely. And I think coming back to my point, like I mentioned, we stopped thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we just think that money is coming in and we just keep spending and spending. I think that mentality, like you mentioned, is gone now.
No, but tie that in with the cost of living crisis. At the same time, we're wasting food.
Yeah.
But then we're complaining about not having enough money to buy food. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, help me here.
You know, when you go to shopping, you mention, you know, you see these massive billboards and, you know, signs, you know, buy one, get one free, or buy one, get one half a price. You know, you only need one, you don't need two. What's the second one's going to go for to waste, you know, but you still buy it, you're buying that stuff. So the guys who are doing the advertisement, you know, they've manipulated your mind into buying it. Now you bought it, you brought it home, you put one's in use and one you put it away. Now, by the time you use this one and go to the next one, it's out of date. Tell you what happens now, throw it away.
Throw it away. And that's a common problem, honestly. So, this, and you know, supermarkets, they actually do this on purpose. They know that you are not going to, I mean, their dates are running short. So, what they'll do is they think, we're not going to be able to sell this product within its time. So, do an offer for, you know, buy one, get one half price or something.
Yeah.
So, we go along and we buy it and bring it home. And we know we're never going to get through it. Yeah, and then exactly what Hafizab said. And then we complain that we haven't got enough, you know, money. Now, there is a, you know, I don't want to blame wasted for everything. There is a cost of living crisis. We know that. Things are more expensive. Yeah. My question to you is, we live in a world where day by day things are getting expensive. I think I was so sick looking at a shopping basket. There was some sort of advert and saying, this shopping basket a year ago would have cost you X and now it's costing you Y. But your wages haven't gone up by that much. Mm-hmm. So how can our Muslim brothers and sisters deal with this? How can they cope?
I think one thing that comes into mind is, you know, instead of buying food from outside, you know, like ready-made food, takeaways, you know, restaurants, cook it at home. There's a lot of savings that you can be made in.
And a lot more barakat as well.
And there's more barakat as well. You know, at home, inshallah, they'll clean it properly. They'll read Bismillah. They'll make it. You know, I'm not, you know, denying any restaurant. Don't go against me. Again, the thing is, we need to start to look at these kind of things as well. You want to eat a milk cake today? Fine. You know, rather than going outside, why don't you make it at home? I wanted to eat a milk cake today, so I told my daughter, can you make it a home? And she said, yeah. So alhamdulillah, I hope that's going to make us some savings. And it's Allah ka shukar, alhamdulillah. But the thing is, you got to be the role model for these kind of things. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a role model for us. He used to, you know, he used to stitch his own clothing. He used to do everything himself, the cleaning and everything. We can learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, some of the things that he taught us, some of the things that he did, so that we can follow his footsteps. Let's, you know, start doing that at home. And randomly, there's another thing that's very common nowadays is, it's okay if you can't afford it, it's 1 year, buy now, pay later. You know, that's another thing that people are falling into the traps of these big retail giants, that they're buying products that they can't afford, but it's okay, you're going to pay them next year. But as they say, time flies, but next year comes, oh my God, we've not done anything, this, and now we're going to pay off, and then that's going to be taken back. So we need to
understand. Coming back to the takeaway you said, because... obviously, as everybody's young, a lot of youngsters these days, they turn to takeaway regularly. I've had
too regularly.
People said to me, we're sat downstairs and my son or daughter have ordered takeaway. There's a knock at the door and we find out they've ordered takeaway when we're making the routine. Yeah? And it comes out of the poor parents' pocket. And now 3, 4, 5 days a week, yeah? These takeaways, these burgers aren't cheap. I mean, now, you know, in the olden days, man, half a time, I remember, you know, you could get a decent burger for £3.
Gee.
Now that's £7-8 a burger. £7. And that's the normal ones, the special ones.
They go up to £15.
Up to £15. And these kids, they don't appreciate how hard the parents have to work. I mean, you know, you make you get a normal handi, as we call it, curry and chapatis, and you could feed a family for maybe a tenner. But you order one meal for yourself and you'll be paying £15. Somebody's got 4 kids, multiply that by...
But I think then again, I might give this question back to you. Who gave them that mentality? Because nowadays what we see commonly that parents, you know, back in the days, parents used to cook themselves. The mothers used to go in the kitchen. They used to roti make self. They used to make the rotis themselves. They used to make the salan themselves. Nowadays, we go at home, we see some of the parents there ordering from outside themselves, or they're ordering rotis. It started slowly. Then they went on to ordering salads from outside. So I think slowly we gave them that mentality as well, if you think about it.
I would respectfully say he's being defensive as a youth, yes. Because that it does happen, but it's a tiny proportion. A lot of our youngsters are addicted to ordering from outside, but without actually realizing the pressure they're putting on their parents. Avisa, would you agree?
But definitely.
The parents are, you know, people are struggling to make ends meet. The dad's struggling to pay the bills, but it doesn't bother me. And you might be right in this sense that they've not made their children appreciate. They've made it too easy for them.
I think another issue is that the parents have also stopped giving time to the kids. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, I think cost of living crisis comes in this as well. They started working extra hours. Mm-hmm. And because of this, maybe they're not being able to give as much time as to their kids. And I think that's where the disconnection happened. And whereas before it used to be where parents used to give time to the kids, everyone used to sit down. They used to come down, sit on a table, eat together. Now that's gone. Everyone's eating at their own time.
When we were growing up, yeah, what happened was our parents, they were struggling because they weren't earning enough. So what happened was straight away we got into that mode where I need to help my dad now. I need to look for work, you know. Now what's happened is, alhamdulillah, you know, we've had that, you know, that struggle for them. Now what's happened is I don't want my children to struggle. So, you know, rather than, you know, teaching them that, you know, this is how you need to do it, we've just given the free hand. I struggle, I don't want you to struggle. Buy whatever you want, whenever you want.
And I think that mentality you give to the kids as well, that if anything happens, oh, I know it's going to be okay because my father's going to sort it out. We've given them that mentality as well.
You see, your children should appreciate. You know, I'd like to give my Walasab good health and a long life. Yeah, they used to tell us, no, but this is what I'm paying for these bills. And we knew roughly the bills, this weekly shop, and we used to go with them to get it. And that, you know, they used to be particularly, said, you know, well, this is expensive, but this is the same kind of thing. But it's a lot. And I'm sure the reason they were doing it wasn't, you know, they could have done that exercise in their head. They could have said, these beans are cheaper than these beans. But they were doing it expressly so that we appreciated as youngsters that we have to go through this decision-making process. Now, today, when you take a youngster to the supermarket, he will go for your big brands straight away.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in our time, at the views of Madni Channel, I might be able to relate to this. We had the no-frills packages. Mm-hmm. And
plain packaging.
Plain packaging, mm-hmm. Yeah. It was black and white, but it was a similar. It was very similar, the bread, the eggs, the beans, and everything else. It was very similar, but it was not packaged, not branded, so it was a lot cheaper. And, you know, and people kind of stigmatized it, saying, well, you're going for the cheap and nasty stuff. And it wasn't. It was fine. But it was that mentality that we needed to bring. Now, Islam gives us that mentality of being straightforward, not being extravagant, doesn't it?
You know, it's funny enough, Harun Bhai, that, you know, majority of the big brands, they're made in the same factories that the normal, yeah. You know, all the brands are made. Basically, you pay extra for your own brand. You know, I've ordered a few stuff from a company and I got a price from them and they said, you want your own logo? And I said, come, give me both prices. And there was a lot of difference between having your... I said, yeah, I don't need to have my own logo. And, you know, I could save that much money as well. So again, now, Lala, you said, you know, we want to go, you know, with social media, people go for Umrah. And, you know, once they've done the salam and everything, okay, we need to go to this restaurant. Oh, they're big on social media. We need to definitely go there. And, you know, I've got one Islamic brother who's on Umrah right now. He goes, the whole week, me and my wife, we spend, you know, eating food during Ramadan. Our son's done that in one day. Because he wants to go to the burger bars and all these big chains and they're costing us a lot of money. And where one day of his food is equivalent to 7 days of our food.
Yeah. And the quality of, you know, I'm talking generally, but the quality of the food from these places is, you know, you cannot compare it to a simple home-cooked meal. And this is what our youngsters don't understand. We're going to come back to this topic. It's a very interesting topic, Views of Monday Channel, because every one of us faces it. Okay, there are a few of us who may not feel the pinch because we're in slightly better, but the majority of brothers and sisters out there have this, and the majority of youngsters don't appreciate what their parents are going through. And so this is why we took this topic today. And inshallah, we're going to go to a package so we can go to the documentary.
It's Dawat-e Islami. It's a right to...
Dear viewers, there's also a department called Maktabat al-Madina. And this department has achieved something truly remarkable. In today's era, people often say that digital books are replacing printed ones, and that the trend of buying books is declining, and that hardly anybody reads religious books anymore. Well, subhanAllah, Dawat Islami has created a global passion for reading Islamic knowledge that is truly unmatched anywhere. We used to hear that when books are published, the first edition consists of 1,000 copies. However, alhamdulillah, under Maktabat al-Madina, and in some cases, hundreds and thousands of copies of books are being printed. Alhamdulillah, hundreds of thousands of books are sold every single month through Maktabat al-Madina. These books are available in different languages and formats. According to the needs of the time, books are published on relevant topics as well. The Holy Quran is printed in a beautiful and dignified manner. Various tafsirs are also available, and translations of the Quran exist in multiple languages. If you wish to see the products of Maktabat al-Madina, visit the website, and your faith, inshallah, will be refreshed. You can also purchase Maktabat al-Madina products online or contact them via the provided numbers and have the books delivered directly to your doorstep. Why shouldn't every home have a small library filled with books of Islamic knowledge so that we and our family members can benefit and grow in our religious understanding? Your Dawat Islami has truly excelled in this field as well. According to our information, Maktabat al-Madina is currently one of the leading publishers and distributors of Islamic books. We pray that Allah Azza wa Jal grant this department even more success and progress. Along with books, Maktabat al-Madina also offers the digital pen Quran. And yes, for fragrances, they have a wonderful brand called Musky. If you have not used it yet, you should definitely try it. Let me also clarify one important point. That Maktabat al-Madina is not a personal business. It is the department of Dawat Islami, and its profit and loss belong to Dawat Islami. So why not? Whenever we need to buy books, itar, perfume, or any other Islamic products, we should choose to try our Maktabat al-Madina.
Maktabat al-Madina. documentary for Maktabatul Madina. This is truly an amazing department of Dawat Islami. Books are printed, published, written, sent all over the world, different languages, different topics. And the online maktaba is just whatever you need. Go to the online maktaba, find it, they deliver it to your doorstep. Absolutely brilliant department of Dawat Islami. Yes. Anybody, what do you say?
Yeah, definitely. And if you can't afford it, then Dawat Islami gives a free PDF as well.
Subhanallah. So free PDF as well. And then,
beautiful.
And if you can't afford extra ones, you can actually do langar. So you can ring them or contact them and say, I want to you to distribute so many of these books. So the next 100 people who buy this book, I'll pay for it. And Dawat, the Maktaba will give it to them free. I mean,
you know, alhamdulillah, Azul, one of the, a lot of people sometimes say that people don't read books anymore. You know, so but alhamdulillah, Maktaba do sell quite a lot of books as well, even at this time. I had to buy some books for my daughter when she was studying. And, you know, a paperback book was like 20, 30 pounds for a normal book that we sell at the Maktaba for 5-6 pounds.
I've always said, I don't know, because Dawat Islami's Maktaba isn't there for profit making. It is there simply to get the knowledge of deen out to the people. I mean, in Pakistan, when you go, it's quite funny because, you know, the Rasale, they sell the 30, 40 page booklet. Mm-hmm. And they sell them for like 20 rupees. You know, how much that is in English terms, yeah? What does that make it? Is it?
Not even a penny.
It's about 6p or something, isn't it? One they were selling the other day. It was 20 or 30 rupees. And 20 or 30 rupees, what's that in kind of pounds? I mean, in pence. It'd be something like 7p or 5p, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very cheap.
When you go to Fazan Medina in Karachi, you can buy big, thick volume books and you think, that's cost me £2. And it's just amazing. I mean, the costs here are slightly greater because of the transportation, because Dawat Islami doesn't make a lot from the Maktaba. And any money that is made goes back into the Madinah work of Dawat Islami and back into the Maktaba work. And so that's why you can have, you know, you can distribute. Say, for example, Amir al-Sunnah, every week they give a Risala. And, you know, pamphlet to read. So this is another very wise tactic by a great pious person of Allah to get the ummah to get the nation to read good stuff.
You know, This has been a media that Sunnah's long life ambition. And Maktabatul Madina is only going to be for the spreading of Islam.
Yeah.
So alhamdulillah, these books that Amir Sunnah is writing and Maktabatul Madina is publishing, the main focus is that for tabligh. There's no profit in that, you know, it isn't going to anyone's hand. And the amazing thing, Harun Bhai, Amir Sunnah has written dozens of books. Yeah?
Yes.
And not even one does he get, you know, loyalty from them.
But no loyalties. Every week, Amir al-Sunnah encourages the people, the millions who watch Madni Channel and Madni Muzakara, to read a book on a specific topic. Mm-hmm. And it's a little book, but 20, 30 pages.
And the other thing is, Harun Bhai, mashallah, the way Amir al-Sunnah set up Maktabatul Madina was that now if you pick up a book that's printed by Maktabatul Madina, you can read it without thinking, is there going to be any mistakes in this book?
Yeah.
You can close your eyes and read them books if they're printed by Maktaba, because they go through rigorous testing.
Yes,
and everything.
That was what I was going to say. You know, there's Muftiyan-e-Izam, the senior scholars, and each book goes through such a process that it's probably, you could say, unique in the world now, that a book will go through such a stringent test and process before it is published. Mm-hmm. And so many senior scholars will read it, check it, double check it, check the references. And that's the other thing I've noticed over the last few years is every single one of Dawat Islami's books now have footnotes and references. You can get to the source.
You know, when the first Kanzul Iman was printed and translated by Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, in Madani Markaz, we were there in the Tarbiyati Ijtima, you know, the international Ijtima, we were there. And they ordered an articulated lorry that was full of Kanzul Iman in English. And all of that lorry was sold out in one night. You know, you have people that are writing books and, you know, they might publish 500 copies, 1,000 copies, 5,000. Maktabatul Madina publishes in the thousands and tens of thousands.
And that's not just in one language. Alhamdulillah, they do in multiple languages.
35 languages.
Do you remember when we were in Jews? Was it Hackman Wyke? When you had a stall and we both stood there and in one evening we
sold them all.
Alhamdulillah. And that was such a great translation. And you know, I've been reading that Kanzul Iman for a few years, but I clear criterion
Jee.
By Mufti Qasim Sahib. It comes with Irfan's tarjuma. I find that so simple English. It's unbelievable. I think they are both amazing translations. But personally, because Kanzul Iman is based upon Ala Hazrat's translation and the Urdu was difficult, the English is okay. It's easily understandable. But I think the clear criterion...
There were some words that were a bit difficult.
Difficult. Yeah. Clear criterion has gone that step further and made it much more easier for the lay person to understand. We've got to move on. We could talk about the Maktaba there, but it's an amazing department of Dawat Islami. Viewers of Madni channel, if you go online, type in Maktabatul Madina, you can go there, you can look at books, you can order books, have them delivered to your home, wherever you are. And you know, and if you don't want to do that, you don't want to spend, the costs are minimum. I prefer to have a hard copy, to be honest, when I'm reading, because I get bored of online, yeah? So I prefer a hard copy with a little nishani. I've got an Alani Park that I put in it, and I kind of go through it. But if you prefer not to do that, go on to dawatislami.net books and just download whatever you want, absolutely free. The mission of Dawat Islami is to get the knowledge of Deen to your hands, to your homes, to your hearts, as much as can. It's not about profit, and that's why it is free as far as we can do it. And the costs of the physical books are kept to a minimum. We've got to move on, and we've only got about 10 minutes left, and I want to do our quiz for today next, and then we're going to go back to our topic and discuss the solutions to this problem, and then we've got to end with our competition and a short dua by Hafiz Saab as well. So we're going to move to our quiz.
Let's talk and learn. Let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom. Let it flow.
So we've got the top right. And it's not showing us anything. It's just a yellow sky at the moment. So yellow sky is all we get. So come on. I think before I ask anybody to get... Oh, we've got another side. Right. I can't see that far, actually. So
I think if we just have one window because there's two windows.
Yeah, there's two windows and we can't see the picture.
Just one big window will be fine. That's it. Brilliant.
That's brilliant. So now it'll make a bit more...
Can we take away some of them?
Right, so if you take away, they took about the left corner. Might decide to take a different one away now. Show us something other than the sky, please.
No, that sky tells us that it's somewhere in the Middle East because it's a hot country.
Yeah, it's a yellow sky, I suppose, yeah. So that's a decent deduction by half a sub. So come on, if you take away another piece, please. Okay. So,
oh, that's brilliant, mashallah.
That's another piece of sky, another building. So that's not going to be...
Are them hotels or...
Difficult to see.
One more, please.
Let's see.
Still not.
It's got
like a building, doesn't it?
Middle bomb one, what about that one?
Looks like a building, though.
We can't see on our screen views of Madni channel. In case you're thinking what we're trying to do, we've got a small screen in the studio, and we're trying to kind of see what that last third square was. And again, it's another building, Havasab. I'm cheating slightly because I've got it open on my laptop as well. Uh-huh. In the sense that I've got that, I've not got the picture.
All right.
I've just got that picture on my laptop so I can see it because on that it's a bit dark and it's just a building. So
okay,
you're going
so
to
have to.
Any guesses, Zahiri?
No, I still don't know.
Afisab?
No, not yet.
There's a good one, this one. I did say make it hard. So come on, let's take away another square.
Oh, mashallah, another one's gone.
Ah, that's interesting.
I'm thinking it might be in Iraq, maybe.
MashaAllah. What's that white thing hovering about?
Oh, that's just the TV's pixels.
No, one more, please. Oh, this is definitely hard.
Right. Okay. Got it. Now, Hazrat, the Rari Mubarak of... All right, I'll let you guys answer them. Go on, Zahir.
I think it is Sayyidina Abbas.
MashaAllah. I think I'll have a turn.
I think that isn't the right answer.
I think it's the mazar of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It looks similar to one of the things.
It does. I was thinking Hazrat Musa Kazim.
Imam Musa Kazim.
Imam Musa Kazim
Okay, less.
But it could be the Darbar-e Mubarak of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam because of the mini domes in front of it. Okay, if you take away another square, we've not had any answers in here at the moment. So if you take away another square, or you've got the two minars, it's definitely. I'd say Hazrat Sayyidina Musa Kazim. I should know this because I was there in October. But they are similar.
I still think it's Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
You've been a few times, yeah?
Alhamdulillah, I think that's what it is.
Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu?
Ji.
I think this is like a backside picture, isn't it?
It's a chick appears from this side rather than, yeah. I think maybe they thought that we've the chick.
Go on, let's get
out. Get rid of the last one. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It has to be, hasn't it?
Because they're both mazars, they've got golden domes in it. So.
I'm going to go with, I don't know the answer to this one actually. I'm going to go with what Hafiz Sahib said. Hazrat Sayyidina Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Line of Allah Azza.
What are you saying, man?
I think I'll change my mind as well.
Go on then, what are you thinking?
Sayyidina Ali.
Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Okay, so are we all Sayyidina Ali Murtaza radiallahu ta'ala
anhu? We'll live and die together.
Or maybe I'll go with Imam Hussain.
You want to go for Imam Hussein?
Yeah. You see, you might be right because there's two domes there. We're running out of time actually, but right. So can I have your final answer?
Imam Hussein.
Imam Hussein. What's your final answer, Afsan? You can't phone a friend. You can't have 50-50. No, ask the audience. Tell me your final answer.
I would still stick to Imam Hussein.
Okay. Can we have the answer to the puzzle, please? So we've seen the puzzle. We still don't know.
We're still puzzled.
So can we have the answer maybe in my ear if my team is still with me? We've run out of time. We're way over time. The Shrine Mubarak was that of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam, Hazrat Imam Hussain. You said
I got it last when I changed my mind.
I thought he said Imam Hussain. And our Shwagbai in the studio.
I'm sure
Hafiz
have changed his mind. He said, yeah, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu
ta'ala. And I explained why I changed my mind.
You said Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hussain. He said Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ali. Then you changed his mind. He said, because of the second shrine further down the road where Hazrat Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is, therefore, there. So the answer to our question was Hazrat Jibril Amin, and the number of times that he blessed, he came to the court of the Blessed Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gained the honor and privilege of being in the company of Akhakrim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was approximately 24,000 scholars, right? Viewers of Madni Channel, because we're running out of time, we've only got a couple of minutes left. We're going to come back to our topic. So, cost of living crisis. What we discussed, Zahir Bhai Hafiz Sahib, was that the fact that people waste a lot, people don't appreciate their blessings. We cook too much food. Our children order too much takeaway. We've generally taken on luxuries of life that we can't afford, and we take loans, etc. Mm-hmm. So Islam, what solution does Islam provide to this? Is it a case of taking stock and accountability and living within your means?
Yeah, I think what we need to start doing is gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at the blessing that Allah Almighty has given us, and we need to start looking at people that are below us. And I think another way where parents maybe could get the youth involved in as well is share the basic household realities, or what the burdens that are happening for them, what's happening them, what's the family budget together. They can set a monthly budget, that this is our monthly budget and we need to go according to this.
Yeah.
And they need to show to the youth as well where the money is actually going, for example, the bills. Because sometimes the youngsters, they don't even know what's happening in the house. They don't know what bill is going where. So they might think, oh, everything is
and then we
okay.
blame them when they don't appreciate it because they might be thinking, well, you know, dad's taking care of everything, and they don't know that dad's struggling.
Yeah.
And if you were to explain to them, Beta, you know, this month I earned this much, but this is what expenses were, and I've been left with very little. That youngster, which you think isn't bothered about, you might think twice before ordering the
takeaway. And I think another step the parent could do in this, assign a responsibility to the kid. Maybe just a small thing. For example, you have a Wi-Fi broadband, which is about £30 a month, you can say, usually, or £40. Just give that to, okay, son, you can do this. Like a little responsibility.
Yeah.
Give
and part-time jobs.
Yeah.
You know, when you earn your own money, you start to appreciate your parents do a lot more. A very important and interesting point that is made. Make your children appreciate what you provide them. And that's not being stingy, and that's not being cruel. That is teaching them the reality of life.
Yeah. And, you know, again, because like I mentioned before, when our parents were getting old and retired, we stepped in Now, the thing is, our children are getting everything free of charge, you know. Yes. We need to make them work for that as well, you know, rather than giving them anything they ask for, make them work for that. Okay, for example, you know, if they want, okay, you want to fast for 30 days, I'll give you this. You know, nowadays, because what's happening now is the Eid shopping now, you know, so make sure that our kids understand that actually, you know, lavish spending is not just against the sunnah, it's against the deen as well.
It's the deen as well. And the more you pamper them, the more ungrateful and unappreciative they become, the more that you get them a part-time job, even if it would teach them how difficult it is. And, you know, sometimes you need to, what the scholars say is this, that sometimes even when they ask for the thing that you can provide, say no, just to teach them a lesson, because then they will know that they can't, you can't have everything in life.
Yeah.
And it makes them appreciate things. And that's where sometimes, you know, our downfall is we don't give our kids that responsibility that Zahir mentioned. You give them that responsibility. You give them that appreciation. And you sometimes say, Iski Parvaigun, he doesn't care about me. The dad says it. Mm. Well, hang on a minute. How much have you made him appreciate that you're struggling? You hide it from the kids, yeah? Don't tell him. No, tell him. Tell him we're struggling to pay the mortgage this month and the mortgage company has sent a notice, or tell him we're struggling to pay the bill this month and we've got a debt demand, so that he appreciates it. And, you know, it'd be a good day when your 15, 16-year-old says, you know, Dad, I think I'll help you. I'll get a part-time job. And you are teaching them that consciousness. And look at, you know, the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, and don't be extravagant.
And the other thing is, Harun Bhai, that we need to understand that La in shakartum la azidanna.
Subhanallah.
Thank Allah Azza wa Jal, He'll give you more as well. As a family, rather than sitting down and complaining, you know, boy, we're struggling, things are not going to get better. You know, thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Another beautiful way of increasing your wealth is giving in charity.
Subhanallah.
You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would encourage Muslims to give in charity.
Another thing, Harun Bayat, we need to look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived his life. A waqia comes into my mind where a sahabi radiallahu ta'ala came into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told him that I haven't eaten in so many days, I'm wearing one stone on my stomach. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his shirt up and he showed him he's wearing two stones.
Views of Madhi channel, very interesting topic. Make your children appreciate, budget, and live within your means. Today, we don't live the way we need to because of our needs. I will live because he's living a different lifestyle. He's living a different lifestyle. Ignore other people. Live within your lifestyle and you enjoy the blessings you have, but don't look to expand those if you can't. And live within your means. Don't waste food and make your children appreciate it and your life will be bliss. Yes, there is a cost of living crisis out there. And yes, it's difficult. But with tawakkul in Allah, trusting Allah Azza wa Jal, keeping your halal sustenance, as Hafiz Sahib said, giving in charity, and then creating a budget and restricting yourself in the right way, inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will see barakats and blessings in everything you do. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom, let it flow. Let's talk and learn, let's talk and grow with Quran's wisdom, let it flow.